Presenter is Kelly Hall. Kelly is a Building Interdisciplinary Careers in Women's Health NIH K-12 scholar in the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology and Population Studies Center at the University of Michigan. Her research is at the intersection of mental and reproductive health. She has conducted population-based and clinical projects examining psychosocial influences on adolescents, family planning behaviors, outcomes, and health service use. Currently, she is examining strategies to integrate mental health care into reproductive health contexts. Welcome, Kelly.
Good morning. Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming and sticking around. So I'm Kelly. I'm really happy to be here, and I want to thank the section for inviting me to talk. I just presented some of this work at the Society for Family Planning Conference a couple of weeks ago, so I know at least one person might have been there, and so it'll sound familiar, but I'm happy to be here to talk about it today. I have no disclosures, and I'd also like to thank my co-authors from the University of Michigan. So a wide range of demographic, social, cognitive behavioral, reproductive factors are known to increase women's risk of unintended pregnancy during adolescence and young adulthood. So things like younger age, lower socioeconomic status, having more sexual partners, earlier onset of coitarchy, are among the very many factors that have been shown to increase fertility during that time. However, studies have often failed to account for interrelated dimensions of young women's health and lives, and specifically what's been missing is the role of mental health status in shaping women's family planning behaviors and outcomes. We know that mental health conditions, including depression and closely related anxiety and stress, are highly prevalent among young women during the reproductive years and are leading contributors to morbidity and mortality worldwide. However, they've been given very little attention in reproductive health research. The majority of work that's been looked at sort of at the intersection of mental and reproductive health has really focused on perinatal and postpartum depression and not been given so much attention in family planning. There has been some literature to suggest that depression and stress are linked with risky sexual and contraceptive behaviors. So for instance, earlier onset of sex, having more sexual partners, having unprotected or sex while under the influence of alcohol and drugs. And then some of my own work has really looked at the influence of depression and stress on contraceptive behaviors. So I have shown previously in related presentations and papers the role of depression and stress in contraceptive non-use, in consistent contraceptive use, and choosing less effective methods over more effective methods among young women who are not pregnant and who have depression and stress symptoms. So here we really wanted to extend that work and think about the effect of mental health symptoms on young women's risk of unintended pregnancy, particularly within the context and sort of nuances of their daily lives. So to answer this question, I used data from the Relationship Dynamics and Social Life Study, which is a population-based longitudinal cohort study of just nearly 1,000 women in Michigan. They're ages 18 to 19 years old, and it was a population-based sampling frame. So driver's license and personal identification card data were used to enroll women in this study. Sampling occurred between March 2008 and March 2009. So after informed consent, women completed a baseline 60-minute face-to-face survey interview in which they were asked a whole series of sociodemographic questions, reproductive history questions, relationship characteristics, and we also asked about mental health status. So we had depression measure, the Center for Epidemiologic Studies depression scale, as well as a perceived stress measure. Then women were invited to participate in the longitudinal portion of the study, which included weekly internet journal surveys. So each week women were asked or sent a link to a journal survey online. They could also complete it by phone. And these These surveys were designed to measure dynamic aspects of women's lives. So what's happening every week in that woman's lives, particularly what's happening with her sexual activity, her contraceptive use patterns, her pregnancy status, relationship characteristics, and then pregnancy outcomes. So my main focus for this particular analysis, or main outcome, was pregnancy, and this was self-reported having a positive pregnancy test, or probably pregnant. And so for this, I looked at just the first year of data. We had really good follow-up rates over the first year, and so my final sample was nearly 1,000 women contributing over 27,000 journals in the first year of the study. And then analysis used mixed effects, discrete time proportional hazard regression models. Here's just a snapshot of the sample characteristics at baseline. So you can see, like I said, women were 18 and 19 years old. The majority of women were white, but we did have nearly a third that were black. The majority, well, I would say about half of women were enrolled in either a two-year or four-year college program. About half were employed, although almost a third were receiving some form of public assistance. Religious participation, including frequent religious participation, was not uncommon. The majority of women were in a relationship at baseline, though only 20% were cohabiting or married. Almost a quarter of women reported having an early age of coitarchy at 14 years or younger. You can see the range of lifetime sexual partners, but having multiple sexual partners was common. And then most women didn't have a previous pregnancy, although almost 25% had at least one prior pregnancy at baseline. I don't report here, or I don't show you here, but the contraceptive use sort of experiences were pretty common. 88% of women had ever used a contraceptive method, although 50% reported having some episode of unprotected sex in the previous year. And oral contraceptives were the most commonly used method at baseline. So here we can see mental health symptoms, so the proportion of mental health symptoms at baseline. So you can see around a quarter of women reported depression and stress symptoms. And then about 15% reported having both depression and stress symptoms at baseline. And I should say that for depression and stress in these models, I'm using moderate to severe depression and stress, so a cutoff score on those instruments that we use to measure them. Additionally, having depression and stress symptoms was associated with pretty much all the socio-demographic and background characteristics. Here we have unintended pregnancy rates at 1 year among all women on the left, and then by depression and stress symptoms on the right. So you can see that about 10% of women reported a pregnancy over the first year of our study, with the majority of women, I think 93, having only one pregnancy over the first year, and 5 women having 2 pregnancies. And then when we look at it by mental health status, you can see that women with depression and stress symptoms at baseline had higher proportions of unintended pregnancy than at 1 year than did women without those symptoms, around 5-point difference. Here we have a similar graphic, except we've broken it down by prior pregnancy status. So on the left, you can see women with no prior pregnancies, and so overall those proportions of unintended pregnancy were lower, because we know that women who've had prior pregnancies are at risk for subsequent unintended pregnancies, so overall it was lower, although that difference is still there among women with and without depression and stress symptoms, so higher rates among those with mental health symptoms. Then when we look at women with prior pregnancy on the right, you can see that the results were actually similar by mental health status. Here are the results of some multivariable hazard models looking at the effect of mental health symptoms on the risk of pregnancy or the hazard of pregnancy over 1 year. And you can see that among women with stress symptoms, they had higher relative risk of experiencing pregnancy, even when controlling for all of the other significant covariates. And these were controlling for the nested models and the woman level factors, including random effects. And then you can see an even higher effect or an even greater effect of having comorbid depression and stress symptoms. So the relative risk was over two times as likely to experience an unintended pregnancy if you had comorbid mental health symptoms. The effect of depression symptoms alone was not statistically predictive, though. Here we have models stratified by prior pregnancy. So in the model one for no prior pregnancy, you can see that the combined effect of having both depression and stress symptoms at baseline was the strongest predictor of unintended pregnancy risk over 1 year among women who did not have a prior pregnancy. And then in model two, you can see stress alone was a stronger predictor among the women who had given birth previously, or had a prior pregnancy, previously. So in conclusion, this study found that women with depression and stress symptoms had high overall rates of unintended pregnancy at 1 year. Stress was more strongly associated across models of unintended pregnancy, even after controlling for important reproductive and sociodemographic confounders. Additionally, the combined effect of having stress and depression symptoms was the strongest predictor in many cases of unintended pregnancy. And then finally, the effects of depression and stress differed to some extent according to women's pregnancy history. So I just wanted to comment on a few implications. So this work, in conjunction with my previous work on contraceptive and sexual behavior among women with mental health symptoms, would together suggest that depression and stress and other closely related mental health conditions like anxiety and substance use should indeed be considered in family counseling, contraceptive method selection, and contraceptive management. So some of my work is really trying to think about what are the best methods for women. And some suggestion is that LARC, long-acting reversible contraceptive methods, might be an ideal option, particularly for distress, if you're distressed or depressed and you don't want to deal with the hassle of taking a pill every day, or you don't want to worry about using a condom every time you have sex. Although there are also some, I'm trying to think about some reproductive autonomy issues and decision making, and not sort of pushing LARC on women or labeling women with mental health or further stigmatizing women with depression. So I think that she mentioned when she introduced me that I'm interested in how we can integrate mental health into family planning settings and vice versa. And so really thinking about what are the best approaches for counseling, and I think more work should be done in that topic. Additionally, I'm very interested in the influence of time-varying mental health symptoms on unintended pregnancy risk, particularly over the reproductive life course. Here we only had depression and stress measured at baseline, and so it would be very important to think about how women's mental health status changes, even within the course of weeks or months. There is some research, especially among adolescents, to suggest that mental health status is relatively stable during that developmental period, particularly when it's a small period like 1 year, even up to 6 years. But I think that given how quickly things are changing there during this time of transition, it would be important to look at. Additionally, the mechanisms by which mental health might influence unintended pregnancy risk is of particular interest to me, and I'm currently working on some studies in this. I already mentioned the behavioral aspects, or sort of the behavioral pathways that might lead depression and stress or anxiety to unintended pregnancy, but I'm also interested in the social context of stress and social stressors and adverse life events and that kind of thing that might contribute to disparities in unintended pregnancy, as well as disparities in mental health status. And then finally, the biological implications of this. We know that stress has significant biosocial interactions, and thinking about how that might risk fertility and fecundity, as well as contraceptive efficacy. And then finally, like I mentioned, thinking about the potential benefit of mental health screening as well as treatment interventions for improving family planning outcomes in family planning context. And I think we need to be thinking, I'm very interested in the health services realm, but also thinking a bit about outside of health services realm, and thinking about social media and social networks as a way to reach young women where they live and where they're talking about their sexual health and where they're talking about their mental health. Thank you. And I actually, I'm the troublemaker, so I'm going to take just a few questions in the middle, or now, if that's okay still. I have to race to the airport. So, does anyone have any questions?
How did you assess whether the pregnancies were planned or unintended?
We did. That's a really good question. And I have it as a control in my models here. The women, 98% of the women at baseline reported that they weren't intending and that they were strongly desiring, on like a scale of 1 to 5, strongly desiring to avoid pregnancy at the onset of the study. We did measure pregnancy intentions each week, and that was a major focus of the primary bigger study. Jennifer Barber's the PI, and she's this is her sort of area of expertise. And so I had I've just done some preliminary work looking at whether women with depression and stress symptoms have different trajectories of intendedness. And they generally don't, and they're generally not intending to become pregnant. So while it's not directly, like I don't stratify any analysis by that, it's kind of inherent to these women. And that's one of the reasons that we chose 18 to 19-year-olds, is we were really trying to get at what happens to intendedness during that period. And for the most part, especially over this first year, it doesn't really change to an extent that matters for my outcome. Any other questions? Go ahead.
I'm just curious as to whether it's possible that the average child experience data and sort of apply that, in terms of if, a young woman had experienced had trauma back then, in terms of sort of demographics, and if that had an impact at all.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I'm currently looking at that data now, and I other than just controlling for some of the basic background sociodemographics here, I don't look at it extensively. It's a focus of my ongoing work, and this study was interesting. It didn't necessarily gather what I would call great, I'm thinking of comparing it to Ad Health and how, and that's other data that I'm looking at now too. Thinking about there's scales for adverse life events out there, and there's like the pregnancy monitoring assessment system also uses stressful life events, like a whole series of 13 items that get at trauma and that get at intimate partner violence and that get at incarceration and that get at all of these other things that may have happened to you before your unintended pregnancy. And so this study didn't exactly do that, although we have a huge range of sort of related measures that I'm trying to kind of pull from and think about how can I create a scale that's meaningful. The problem is, even though this is an awesome study in terms of temporal ordering and we have all this longitudinal data, it's hard to know what came first when I had only mental health at baseline. And so when I just put in a grant to do my own study looking at trying to get women even earlier during the adolescent period and thinking about how these things change and evolve in their social context over time. So we're always limited, wishful thinking, we're always limited by our data sets, and even when you try to develop the perfect one to answer your question, you're always kicking yourself for not having it all in there, so.
Well, and it's just wonderful because, when we talk about those adverse childhood experiences and people are being asked retrospectively about them, usually
right.
In their 40s and 50s.
Right.
And we're sort of looking at the impact
yes.
of this age group and this younger age group.
Yeah, it's super exciting. There has been some work done around mental health in using Ad Health and looking at stressful life events or adverse childhood events. And so I'm going to try to build up on that, and specifically in a reproductive context and thinking about how it relates to reproductive health and family planning.
Yeah. I appreciate your comments about LARC, sort of thinking about what methods would be appropriate for this population. Do we know anything about the relationship between hormonal methods and stress or psychological
Yeah. I actually just wrote a chapter for contraceptive technology and about this exact topic. And so historically there was some thought that that hormonal methods, particularly the original doses of oral contraceptives, could contribute to mood symptoms. And these days, all the research suggests that, and what evidence we do have suggests that that's not the case with low-dose pills. Less has been looked at with LARC, but it would be even less likely. The estrogen is really the key component we're thinking of when we're thinking about interactions with neurotransmitters. I give a whole pre-conference session on this topic at Contraceptive Technology if you want to come, although they didn't support this in any way. But Yes, and so I'm particularly interested in thinking a little bit more about that in a very nuanced way, thinking about measuring, trying to get at biological measures of mental health, stress I'm thinking of in particular, and looking at contraceptive efficacy for the modern methods, and especially for the understudied ones like LARC. Good question. Thank you very much.